Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today we have a guest speaker, Robert Bowen, and I want to tell you a little bit about Robert. He graduated from Fordham University with a degree in urban studies. He's got his master's degree from Webster College in Management and Human Relations. He's a retired military and retired at the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. He works part-time as an instructor for Cal State University in San Marcos, and he's married and has three adult children. Now, here's some other information that you would possibly be interested in. Robert is a certified career coach and has a company that's named Career Coach Connection. He specializes in helping veterans deal with pain, confusion, and fear associated with transitioning from the military to civilian careers. He also helps more seasoned veterans as they are in a new job search mode. Robert retired from the military in 2004 as Lieutenant Colonel from the United States Army Reserve, and he was in Desert Storm in 1991 and served in the Balkans conflict in 1997. In addition to his military experience, he has over 25 years in human resources management experience with major corporations such as McDonald's Corporation, Pacific Care, and Ericsson, so he truly understands what veterans' needs are to be successful in corporate America. So, Robert, I would like to welcome you to the show this morning and tell me a little bit about yourself in a way that our listeners could understand and who you want to reach.
Okay, well, good morning, Davida. Thank you for all of that. I appreciate the introduction. In terms of what I am, you pretty much said a mouthful there. As far as my background, the type of coaching that I do is actually, as you mentioned, my niche being for veterans or transitioning individuals. Because of the background that I do have, the combination of the military experience, 28 years of it, as well as the human resources piece, which means that I kind of see who's coming in the door, I know what the qualifications need to be, and what a person needs to do to be able to kind of get past that front gate, if you will. I understand that the dynamics of that and what a person needs to prepare and have going for him or her to make happen. So I've decided about a year ago to escape from, if you will, corporate America and begin focusing on that, which has a lot of value, I think, because we have a lot of veterans coming back now from Iraq, even more than ever, who quite frankly need the assistance. So I've sort of made it my mission to help the veteran in that particular way, and that's sort of where I'm at today.
I'm going to go a little bit off track here and ask you, what do you think about what the military or the government is doing and how they're treating a lot of their military that has come back with the head injuries? Are they currently really investing in giving them the training and therapy that they really need?
That's a tough question, but I'll try to give it a shot because, as you might imagine, one answer doesn't fit all. But I've done a little bit of investigation of my own unofficially into it. You have a lot of people who do get very good care. There's no question about it. But I think the Veterans Administration's resources are stretched to the max, and like most organizations in the government, getting a fair share of dollars to improve in the service is always problematic. Last week I went to a veterans center, and the parking lot was full to the max. There were people all in the hallways. And I've heard some feedback from some veterans that it really does take a lot sometimes to get into an appointment, and it takes a lot of pushing and what have you. And so that becomes sort of a problem for a lot of folks who are just simply not in the system and trying to break in there. The answer is more needs to be done, as most people could figure out, and as more veterans come back, it's straining the system even more. I think the government needs to come up with some way to deal with that bulge of people and deal with that problem, because it's not going away, and quite frankly, a lot of folks are going to need that assistance.
I think a lot is being given to this right now because of it being a election year and the fact that it got hit the news. But I know for a fact that when it comes to the disability community, they're just about getting what is available from the services that the government provides.
Mm-hmm.
So Now, can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, what drew you to be to going into private practice?
Well, pretty much as a 25-year HR person, I've, again, been around for a long time. And within the generalist function, not to get too detailed or technical here, there are a number of different things that a person can do. For example, you can get into benefits, you can get into employee relations, you can get into disciplinary areas, or you can get into management development. Well, what I discovered over the years is that the management development piece offers the most direct interaction and, for me, the most satisfying way of dealing with and helping employees get to where they want to go. So I emerged as having a great interest and, quite frankly, a passion for that, and I saw that doing the most good. So as a result of that and realizing that was something I was attracted to, that's why I put out my own shingle, if you will, to do that, because I now engage in a more pure work that I enjoy, and it also has a wonderful impact on people. So it's a great win-win for me in terms of the outcomes that people achieve once they go through coaching, and it gives me an opportunity to do one of the things I do best.
And when did you get your coaching certification?
I got my coaching certification several months ago. I was a long teleclass with Coach Training Alliance, and I graduated from that particular class. It was an excellent class. It didn't teach me coaching from the beginning because I was coaching for years, but what it did provide was sort of a business backdrop and a very specific coaching model that was very useful. There's a number of models out there, as you can imagine, and they introduced theirs that was really quite nice, and it just helped me get more of an arsenal of various ways to help folks.
Okay. And so you've really just gotten into the coaching side of the HR field.
Correct. As an entrepreneur, because it's not like I just came out of school as a 21-year-old graduate saying, "Hey, I'm a coach. Let me go." I've got all that background, so it's not a question of being just sort of super new into it. Just have my own shingle, my own entrepreneurship, I guess, to answer your question.
Okay. And can you tell me? Can you tell me a little bit more about how you work with military spouses?
Sure. No different than I would with a veteran. Essentially speaking, reaching out to particular groups of people, and there's a number of military groups, as you know, and also through word of mouth. The veterans that I work with, guess who they tell? Well, they'll tell their spouse, "Hey, you know, I'm working with this person right here. What do you think?" And there's a number of military wives groups as well. So there's a number of ways to do that. I have a couple of rotating smaller ads in a website that, you know, attracts people, and I get calls and what have you. So a lot of it's word of mouth. In fact, the main thing is word of mouth. No different than their spouse. Work with them on what they want to do, and then work through that whole process with them of helping them to get there. So there's really not a whole lot of differentiation, actually.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell our listeners what website that is?
My website?
Yes.
Okay, it's, www.careercoachconnection.com. Again, careercoachconnection.com.
Okay, and does the military already have some type of programs to help military people, or do you have to seek them out on your own?
Well, they do have a program. It's called Transition Assistance Program, TAP in short, is what it's known for. And what they do is they have various times in a person's career just before they're getting out, like a year out, 2 years out, 6 months out, that they are required to attend certain types of classes. The classes, as you can imagine, designed to give them information on different kinds of resources, information on what they need to know, direction they need to take, et cetera, et cetera. And the classes are filled with people either in a getting out mode or thinking about getting out. They provide a lot of good information, a lot of good resources. One of the things that I believe is a disconnect is that it's very much like a gang of people in the room, and you got an instructor out there who's talking, and it may not be focusing on the individual needs of people. So unfortunately, and I've gotten some information from veterans on this, so this is not my thinking, a lot of people fall through the cracks. A lot of people fall through the cracks.
It's almost like you have to seek out the services on your own because...
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
They're not readily available to the public, and at least with the internet, you can research it.
Yeah,
so I know recently dealing with the fact that I have a disability and that I happen to have fallen and have caused me some issues with finances, I had finally found an agency that actually works with children with cerebral palsy and sent them an email and said, can you get me the help I need? I'm an adult with cerebral palsy. You know, so, yeah, trying to. Anyway, what I was also going to ask is the question is, can you tell me the difference between counseling and coaching?
Sure. Counselor is more of a, call it a therapeutic kind of deal there. Counseling focuses on an assumption that something is wrong and needs fixing, repairing something of that sort, telling somebody something that they need to know to get themselves up to speed, if you will. The coaching element operates in a different sort of way. Coaching takes the position of creating the future. Coaching does not take the time, or a whole lot of time, if you will, to dwell on the past and deal with those kind of things that, gee, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Gee, that's too bad. Coaching says, okay, let you and I walk together and work together toward creating the kind of future that you want. And that becomes the focus of the coach, to deal with the individual in that sort of creation mindset. And we found, and I found, and it's absolutely a marvelous thing, the creativity of people, when you partner with them to focus on the future, is absolutely marvelous. And they come up with ideas and thoughts and directions that they hadn't previously considered because of that interaction, which is why I love the coaching field.
And it helps them to understand that they have the answers for themselves, but they just may not think about it.
Exactly. Absolutely correct. And given the bureaucratic thing that the VA and other government services has, they're very much kind of lockstep in how they do things. It doesn't have a creative component in it very much. It's like, here's information, there you go. Now serving number 32. The coaching piece is much more interactive, much more personalized, quite frankly, much more intimate than government services typically can be.
Okay, and how do you convince people to work with you?
Well, it's actually no convincing at all. One of the things that's important, I think, for anyone who has any kind of service is to be able to position yourself in such a way that you are a benefit to individuals. If you are perceived as a benefit to someone, there's no selling involved. If you are convinced after a conversation that you and I have, and in terms of me reaching out to people, you know, I can do that through various groups, just chatting with people about, you know, how I am of benefit, how I can help them with their problems, specifically in my case, in career coaching and career, get moving their career ahead. So after having some conversations with them and going through some very specific questions, they begin to see, things are possible prior to or different than what I had thought, and I position myself as someone who is able to do that. And from that particular standpoint, the attraction is there, and we often work as a client and coach from that point on. So there was no, hey, you need to come and talk to me because I can fix you. No, there's none of that. They're simply, I'm a resource. They see it. They connect me with what they want, and away we go.
Okay, and do you have any type of special method that you use with your client?
My methods are very simple. It's what I call it's a five-point deal, and I'll give it to you just very briefly. First thing, it's important to make sure that you identify and work with the client to figure out what their goal is. That's very important because that becomes the anchor for where the person continues their work and the vision for which they continue to strive towards. So we spend a lot of time dealing with that, their goal or direction. The next thing is to see, based on what that goal is and what's the identified goal, what is the skill set the person has? Let's say, for example, the person wants to be an MD, and we're looking today and they say, well, you know, they're just a paramedic. Well, you can see that there's going to be some of a skill gap there, and so we need to identify what that is. The next step is figuring out what is the strategy for getting to that particular point. What does the individual need to do? We're talking longer term, month to month. We're talking week to week. We have to figure out what that's going to be to give them a sense of perhaps timing of getting there. The next thing to deal with is the person's psychology, basically what's going on in their mind. Many of us defeat our own causes by the things that we think. We have assumptions that are not based in facts. I spend time working with the client to say, what are your assumptions? What are you thinking? What do you know? What do you understand? And we spend some time there because we need to make sure that they're thinking along the lines of what's going to take to get to that goal and kind of debug them, if you will. But we go back and forth to make sure the person has their own realization. And then finally, the environment. All of us do not operate, or should I say none of us operate in a void. We operate with other people, most often family members, friends and what have you, who either are supportive or not supportive of what we do. And so we need to figure out what's the best way to have the environment that we need that further promotes what we want to do, getting people on board, spouse probably most notably. How can the spouse help us? We spend some time talking on that. So it's really a three-dimensional component of dealing with the person, the whole person, to help them to get to where they want to get to faster.
Okay, and have you ever thought about taking some of what you're doing with your clients as a coach and putting it together as a teleseminar and working with a group?
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing that. Again, I'm a fairly new guy, if you will. But yes, group coaching is certainly an option because one, it gives a lot of people a lot of information all at once as opposed to one-on-one. It's not as intimate, but it can be just as valuable, and you have some synergy within a group as well. One of the things that I'm looking at developing myself is a separate group called Veterans in Transitions Group, and simply put, it's a group of individuals, and it's a volunteer group. It's my way of giving back to the community, where we have group veterans who sign up, and we meet maybe a couple of times a month, and the group just simply helps each other by interacting on different types of subjects, providing input, feedback, recommendations, experiences. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. We learn from others' experience, the newer vets versus the older vets, and interact in that kind of mode. So I'm going to facilitate that kind of thing, and I think like the military is now, they operate in teams. So this is a similar type of concept that I think is going to work great.
And it also helps transition a lot of military back into civilian life?
Yeah, and that's going to be, that's the core. You see, two prongs here. The person getting off military, of course, has probably had the most immediate need, but you have more seasoned veterans who have been out there for a while who could still benefit from an association with veterans because who knows veterans' problems better than veterans. So it's nice to have that kind of support within a group of people that you interact with and feel good about talking with.
And how do you do your coaching? Do you do it in person or on the phone? Or
typically I do it on the phone, and it actually works quite well because when you're on the phone, you can kind of get up and you're in your robe and there you are on the phone, and the information and interaction is no less effective whether you're doing it over the phone versus in person. In person, you have to get up, you fluff up, all that sort of good stuff. You got to drive somewhere that costs money. So sometimes the logistics of that are less convenient than on the phone. Now, having said that, it really depends. If there's a client who really wishes to do that intermittently or whatever, I'm willing to do that because I understand the degree of impact that a lot of people have from just chatting with someone face-to-face every now and then. So I'm flexible in that respect if it fits the needs of the client.
Okay, and how do you spread the word about your career coaching? Do you put ads in the papers or anything like that?
I put some ads in the paper, but I don't do a whole lot of that because I really think that the word of mouth is more important because, you put an ad in the paper, you say, hey, I'm wonderful, I'm great. The person really has nothing to go on. They just see that. It may be a pretty ad or whatever, but people are more comfortable with things that they know and places and services that are recommended. So it's more important for me to connect with people who know me and who can see who I am, what kind of person I am, and then say, hey, I think you need to talk to Robert because he has some information that you may be able to benefit from. A lot more leverage and a lot more impact than just a cold ad, although an ad may be something that you do depending on the publication. For example, a military or veterans publication may be a choice for me.
Okay, and do you do any career counseling with any of your clients after they've gotten out of the military?
Well, when you say career counseling, can you tell me what you mean by that so I answer your question?
Okay,
kind of
just some suggestions and some guidance and then kind of get a feel for what their personality is, what their strengths are, and how to guide them in a way that will help them plan for that career.
Sure. Well, this is where the human resources hat comes in. One of the things I'm very careful about is I try to keep the relationship very much in a focused kind of coaching position. I try not to dip over into something more, hey, here's some information you need, and do this, because that sort of gets away from the coaching thing. Now, depending on where we are in our relationship, and this is where the intimacy and uniqueness of it comes into play, the individual is going to have to need some resources as far as maybe closing the skill gap or dealing with the strategy of moving forward. I do get involved and assist with an individual in their career guidance, exploring whatever kind of career or business options they may have. And that's simply by doing certain types of questioning, examining what their interests are and that kind of thing. So a lot of careful questioning it deals with that. You know, the job search assistant, there's all kinds of information out there. There's all sorts of resources. What we have here is a state employment development department. Every state has them providing and assisting information on here's a resource that you may want to use, and the person will need to mine that to make sure that they find out what they need to. Same thing, labor market, what's out there to learn more about a particular industry or vocation. Help them connect with those resources. What education they need to close that gap. Do they need to get an undergraduate degree? Do they need to get a certificate? What is that they need as part of their strategy? So we're talking about the details of strategy, helping them with their resume, developing it, getting into role plays for mock interviews, those kind of things. So those become something of an adjunct service that I provide as well when a person's in the mode of, hey, I've got an interview that's coming up, what do? Then I can shift gears to assist them with that particular aspect of it. And it's kind of nice. And then obviously the salary concerns. Uncomfortable subject for a lot of people. I help them walk through that, help them understand what they need to know as a way of approaching that particular very vital question.
Okay. And also the interviewing skills?
Oh, yes. Do a lot of brainstorming on that and practice, because it's as you know, it's a nervous time for people, especially people who are just getting out of the military.
Okay. And do you work with corporate clients as well?
I do. I've worked with a couple. That's not my focus. To the extent that there's a group that could benefit from my expertise, I may get recommendations from employers about a particular individual. And as far as who deals with that, it could be the individual. A lot of times it could be the company. If they want to develop an individual, then they would spend some time and resources to carve out some time for me to interact with them. So it's quite possible that could happen. But primarily mine is an individual focus.
Okay, and how much do you charge for your services?
It really varies. I don't have any one particular figure because I'm very sensitive to the fact that most veterans don't have a lot of money, especially people just getting out. I use the analogy of Marshall Goldsmith, which many of listeners may be familiar with. He charges hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm nowhere even close to that. Mine ranges in the hundreds of dollars, maybe from 2 to 5, and it really depends. Typically, I meet 3 times a month via phone, with interaction in between via phone, you know, for questions, emails, and that sort of thing. So if there's kind of things that I need to do to help the person between our formal calls, we'll do that. The key thing here is that the individual sees that whatever the cost is, that the value of it, as far as helping them get to their goals, is much more than what they're paying for, and it's my job to make sure that they continue to have that value.
Okay. And besides the method that you describe as coaching, are there any other types of services that you perform?
Oh, let's see. Well, I talked about the career information services. I think you call it career counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I also help individuals from a standpoint of referring to different kind of resources, more notably recruiters and what have you. I do have a database of recruiters and different types of specialties that they have. And the way this works is, let's say one of my clients, through the process, decides, you know, I think I'd like to be an IT specialist. Then I would say, okay, I think I have, or I do have, some names that you may wish to pursue, specialist recruiters who may be able to help you in that particular respect. And I interact with those recruiters, and I refer as necessary, and they know me, so when they get my clients who are with them, they kind of know what sort of process they've been through, know what the person's able to do, and takes and works with them from that standpoint. So it's a great partnership.
And when you start with a client, what's usually the length of time that you work with them to get them from the starting point to the ending point.
It really is all over the map because, again, the intimate and the uniqueness of it. I like working with people for about 6 months to a year because depending on how big your goal is, it may take you that long to get there. And it's amazing how, despite the beginning of time, you think, I want to do this, let's do it, and it may seem like a clear line of sight as you're going along, maybe not as clear, maybe not as easy, maybe not as fast. And therein lies the value of the interaction as we discuss and discover ways to get you through the minefields, take advantage of the opportunities to get you where you want to go. The answer is it will vary from individuals. I've worked with people from 3 months to thereabouts, and a lot depends on the person and their willingness to do what they need to do because it truly is driven by the individual.
I know that when you set goals, sometimes they say set dates that reach your goal, but I know if it's just you working on that yourself, it's easy to target a date. But when you're depending on other people, sometimes it's not as easily to set a date because it depends on coordinating time. It depends on coordinating situations. How do you usually handle situations like that?
Well, you know, I found that working with someone else actually provides a lot more inspiration to get things done. Because if I'm working with someone else, and I'll tell you, I have my own coach because I know that coaching works. And because I know I have a coach I'm going to be talking to, let's say Monday at 10 o'clock, I'm thinking, yikes, what was I supposed to do? Am I going to be ready? He becomes an accountability partner for me because I know I'm going to have to talk to him. Now, if I decide not to do it, will it be any punishment? No. But I know that I've chosen to work with him. I've chosen to employ his services. So in other words, to maximize his value, his value to me, it's in my best interest to do what I need to do for every reason in the world. I move forward close to my goal, and I accomplish things in the interim step. So it really is a wonderful thing. Some people like being held accountable. They like to have someone who has more of a stern way but who will hold them accountable. Example. I talk to my clients, and we talk about a particular type of thing that they're going to do. They say, I'm going to do something next Thursday. Okay, so you plan to do it. Is that correct? Are you committing to do that? Yes. And I'll ask them, do you want me to hold you accountable for that? They can say yes or no. And okay. The magic of that is once they say yes, things get done, and they win.
Okay. And how do people contact you to learn more about actually working with you?
Sure, there's a number of different methods. I'll give you my phone number and my website address. Phone number is 760-271-6385. Again, 271-6385, area code 760. My email address is robert@careercoachconnection.com. That's robert@careercoachconnection.com. And then my website address, as I mentioned before, and here it is again, www.careercoachconnection.com. Lots of information on the website about me, what I do, and I invite people to give a call. What I provide also, and for your listeners, one special that I'll give out for people who do choose to email, and we can have a conversation about their career. I give complimentary career checkups to individuals. And also provide a free complimentary resume review. Make sure that the resume looks as good as possible, the person is comfortable with it. And individuals do choose to email me. I will send them, I have a new ebook. It's called Fearless Transition, Bridging the Civilian Career Gap. And it's designed for veterans, transitioning people, and it's chock full of information and tips kind of all in one place to help a person move the needle forward in their own search. And I'll send that to them. A link to the PDF for that particular publication.
Okay, we've got less than a minute, and is there anything else that you would like to say before we sign off today?
No, not really. I think we've covered a lot. Again, the passion for what I have, I really can't overstate that. I think coaching as an entity is growing, and I feel very, very fortunate to be able to be part of that growth and actually be a real helping source to people who need it, especially our nation's brave men and women. So I think I'm very well poised, and I'm doing quite well as part of that service.
Okay, and I would like to thank you for participating in today's show, and I will be sending you the link to the to listen to the show once it's complete.
Okay.
That'll take about 10 minutes.
All right, and I appreciate that. Thanks a lot to all your listeners and to you, Davita, as well.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Take care.